happen to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
The iPhone 13, you know?
And it's so silly, but so funny.
And they announced a mini, so they're going to bring back the small iPhone like the original iPhones. I'm very excited about that. Those will be the first iPhone I bought when it comes out in years. I'll get this one hot off the press.
Well, I've seen the iPhone you're using now. I approve of that investment.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Screen's cracked. The battery doesn't work. A lot of the touch areas don't work. We're a little fired up. Gotta point out that I'm having trouble concentrating on what we were going to do because we just got news that in our local area, the county has outlawed Christmas lights.
That's right, because some streets have elaborate light displays that tend to draw people to look at them. Therefore, we have forbidden Christmas light displays because of the COVID-19.
Now, so I just saw Beverly Hills has officially banned Halloween, which they're doing in some parts of the country, which blows my mind. I don't know how the government thinks they get to say you're not allowed to walk to your neighbor's house and knock on the door, even if they're welcoming you by having the light on, like saying, come over to our house.
You're healthy. They're healthy. You're not the least bit concerned about your kids.
The government can say I can't walk to my neighbor's house and knock on the door. That's a line we shouldn't cross.
Emergency, Jack, for 7 months and counting, including where it's not an emergency.
But at least I understand kind of the premise in that we're out and about and I'm going up to my neighbor's house, I spread the disease. At least I understand the premise, even though I think it's wildly out of bounds.
Okay.
I don't even understand the premise of canceling the Christmas lights.
Well, lots of people wander over and stand on the sidewalks.
I'm going to drive down the street in my car and look at the Christmas lights.
Some people might be on foot. It could be a super spreader event. We're going to tell you where you can walk and where you can't walk and how you celebrate the birth of Christ and how you don't.
Here's what you do.
One guy in the county made this declaration.
You know how you get around it. You put on some activist T-shirts and smash some windows.
Yes.
Then you can walk anywhere you want.
Exactly. If you bust up the houses that are celebrating the birth of Christ or just bright lights.
In the name of equality.
Right, right. Just say something, black lives. And then you get to smash stuff up and you get to assemble.
Something, rich people, something, patriarchy. And you can actually smash the windows of the house and then look at the Christmas lights. Yeah, it's beyond maddening.
It's the stuff that makes people break the law. And honestly, if this is the end of our career, fine. Break the law. Take your kids trick-or-treating. If you think it's safe, if you take reasonable precautions, your neighbor's lights are on, indicating clearly they are welcoming trick-or-treaters, do it. Put up your Christmas lights. There's one specific court not far from the Radio Ranch that was forbidden for doing their lights. We've told them, we will take care of your legal defense. We will raise money for your legal defense.
Oh, I know that we could raise six figures if we had to.
In a day, in a minute, in an hour.
It'd be easy. So, yeah, put up your lights. It's the history of use it, but how do you not realize you're going to raise a generation of people with no respect for the law or government?
Right.
My kids are coming up in a world where the government does such crazy things that's crazy even to them as children. They understand how dumb it is.
And that is true.
They're not going to have respect for the law the way I did as a kid.
Yeah. There are two ways that this sort of thing can go. One toward sheep-like subservience, compliance, you know, the sort of slavish, head-down obedience that is repugnant to any American of good conscience. Or lawlessness. Those are the two places that this sort of overreach can take you. That's maddening.
I'm sure your wheels are already spinning on this, executive producer Hanson, but we got to get out a press release. We got to get in contact with the neighborhood. We got to make it clear to everyone. We'll happily pay the legal bills for if you want to put your Christmas lights up.
Yep. Yep. We will start a fund. On a more cheerful topic, just very briefly, today is indeed the anniversary of humankind breaking the speed of sound for the first time. The great Chuck Yeager. I've lost the date. When was it?
47,
I think it was.
Hell of a long time ago. let's see. Anyway, interestingly, 2 days before the mission that was scheduled, Chuck Yeager fell off a horse and broke two ribs. But he was worried that the injury would remove him from the mission, and so he snuck to a civilian doctor who taped up his ribs. He only told his wife and his co-pilot, Jack Ridley, about the accident. On the day of the flight, he was in such pain he couldn't seal the hatch by himself. Ridley, his good friend, rigged up the device using the end of a broom handle as an extra lever to seal the hatch.
Is that the opening of The Right Stuff, or was it the Tom Hanks miniseries about the astronauts? Anyway, one of those movies about all those guys open with him out on his horse and crashing and at night and everything and then going and doing that.
You know, that's a man. M-A-N. And that's an American. God bless him.
There's no real treatment for broken ribs. The
wait
the,
yeah, and this, suffer.
This is going to hurt for a while. Try
bad.
Not to laugh.
Jack, you've broken six ribs or several ribs.
I have. It's unpleasant.
Yeah. I actually severely bruised and partially separated some ribs. I did not break them, thank God. I sneezed and I briefly passed out. I had no idea it would be that painful. I fell to my knees semi-conscious. After that, by God, I did everything it took to prevent sneezes. So thumbs up the nose, forceful blow-ins, whatever it took.
Yeah, that's from sneezing with... I can't imagine breaking the sound barrier. Mechanical airplanes of 1947, right? These were not recumbent seats with heating in them.
Touch screens, etc.
No, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've been following the whole SCOTUS nominee process this week. But if you want to know more about the Supreme Court and the ins and outs and that sort of stuff, we're going to talk with Tim Sandifer, Tim the lawyer, who knows about as much about it as anybody I know. A really fascinating conversation. You will learn a lot.
Yeah, not just the dumb questions about Amy Coney Barrett, which have already been answered. And she's anyway, we're just talking about the Supreme Court in general.
But coming up in moments, I was reading this piece in the Wall Street Journal about the true Michael Brown story. I don't know if you remember Michael Brown, Ferguson, Missouri, shot dead, hands up, don't shoot. That didn't actually happen, but it was a big deal. And so there's a documentary coming out that might get help because it's under content review right now.
Oh, boy. But Jack Dorsey of Twitter thinks it's, I don't like it because it goes against the narrative.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think you'll find this fascinating.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hey, we're Armstrong and Getty, and I don't know about you, but when the check engine light comes on, I got a lot of anxiety.
Oh, yeah, it's staring at you menacingly, and you can't help but wonder, what's wrong and what's it going to cost?
With coverage from CarShield, you won't dread unexpected repairs.
That's right. CarShield offers a wide range of protection plans that can save you thousands for covered repairs.
Which means that check engine light is a lot less scary when it comes on.
And you have the freedom to choose your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work, and CarShield gets the rest taken care of.
Even if your car breaks down while you're traveling, the choice of repair shop is still up to you.
On top of that, payments are flexible, and CarShield plans are customized to your exact needs.
CarShield has helped over 1 million drivers. That's why they're America's number one auto protection company.
Get coverage today. See why CarShield cars go farther.
Visit carshield.com. Use the code Armstrong to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Armstrong.
A deductible may apply. Go to carshield.com, code Armstrong.
After COVID, can President Trump make a comeback? Greg Kelly says he can win big time. Every weeknight on Newsmax TV, Greg Kelly tells the truth about Trump. Greg speaks with insiders Dick Morris, Ben Stein, Sean Spicer, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or see it free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and TVs like Samsung and LG. Watch Greg Kelly tonight on Newsmax TV. Everyone is tuning into Newsmax TV.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24 hours longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Doug LaMalfa. I want to share with you a story from a local business owner, Jerry Euland, and his manufacturing plant.
In March, just as we were starting the plant, COVID-19 restrictions were about to stop the project. COVID-19 forced us to lay off over 50 employees. I called government officials, and it was Congressman Doug LaMalfa who went to work right away. He listened, he saw the problem, and went to the White House to get a policy change that saved our company. Thanks to Doug LaMalfa, the livelihood of hundreds of families have been saved. And I credit Doug for keeping this company and this project alive.
Jerry's innovative company is the only one of its kind in the world, and I'm glad his business calls the North State home. As a representative, one of the most rewarding things I do is helping solve problems created by Washington bureaucracy. And I'm proud to say we are getting things done. I'm Doug LaMalfa, and it's my honor to serve you in Congress. That's why I approve this message. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. The Cal Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
As paid for by No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Because the reality is that the reaction to Trump is also strong, and you see it with schools. There's a lot of schools who are in communities like Washington, D.C., that's doing a good job, mm-hmm. and people are following the rules, and they are still so risk-averse to opening schools, in large part because their teachers don't want to do it, mm-hmm. and a lot of that is reaction to some of the politics. So if Trump says we should stay closed, there's all of this that's coursing through the response to the virus that is a reflection of how it's been politicized. And it's really unfortunate.
Well, we've suspected that for a long time. That's David Gregory on CNN saying, yes, some schools are not opening because they don't like Trump. That's the only reason.
We've been stating that strongly for months. It's clearly true. But the fact that David Gregory is saying it, the fact that Wolf Blitzer is pushing back against Nancy Pelosi, not even trying to come to a COVID relief deal, the fact that Jake Tapper is getting in the face of Joe Biden's campaign manager when Joe Biden says it's unconstitutional what the Republicans are doing with the judge. Is there an awakening of
I doubt it, but I hope.
Of common sense, if the stakes finally gotten high enough, people think, I can't spout the company line anymore. I gotta speak from my heart.
How bad a person are you if you don't open up the schools because you don't like Trump? You're a terrible human being. Honestly, how do you sleep at night?
You're deluded. You've become a version of you that you would not like in
America. And I'm pretty passionate about this, like a lot of you are, because I've seen the looks on these kids' faces. I know how sad they are, how miserable they are. And you're freaking not letting them go to school because you don't like Trump. God, I hate you. I really hate you.
That's hate speech.
Oof. Also, I hate whoever decided that you can't have Christmas lights in one area of Sacramento, California. We got a couple of texts on that. Somebody made a video, I guess, of, this is from weeks ago, Governor Newsom enraged after hearing churches singing down in Whoville, making him the Grinch, which is pretty funny.
I love that.
Ready
or not, here comes my sled with Max.
But we got this text when we were mentioning that they banned Christmas lights now. Super liberal, damn near socialist here. I appreciate you listening to the show as a super liberal, damn near socialist.
It must be a patient human.
Banning Christmas displays is where I step off. I will take up arms against anyone who tells me I can't put up Christmas lights.
Amen, my brother.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We can disagree and still be friends on innumerable issues, but let's join together on this one.
Have a feeling we'll have a follow-up on that tomorrow. Interested in this documentary that I hope actually comes out when it's supposed to. It's a film called What Killed Michael Brown. There's an op-ed by Jason Riley in the Wall Street Journal today. Will Amazon suppress the true Michael Brown story? August was the sixth anniversary of the death of Michael Brown. God, time goes by when you get old.
I know it.
That's the black teenager who was shot dead by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. The incident and the nationwide coverage it attracted marked the beginning of a period of mass protests against police, which culminated, we hope, after the tragic death of George Floyd in Minneapolis this May. The fashionable explanation for what happened to Brown, Floyd, and others, such as Freddie Gray in 2015 and Philando Castile in 2016, is so-called systemic racism. The activist left and the mainstream media insist that law enforcement targeted these men because they were black, and that if they weren't black, they would still be alive. The truth is more complicated and less politically correct, and it's the subject of an engrossing new documentary scheduled to premiere October 16th called What Killed Michael Brown. It's written and narrated by the noted race scholar Shelby Steele.
Oh, interesting.
And directed by his son Eli Steele.
Now you got my attention.
Yeah, best-selling books, constant Wall Street Journal op-eds.
Fiercely independent.
Yeah, Emmys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In an interview last week, Mr. Steele, who is based at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, explained the significance of Brown's death and what it tells us about race relations today. Michael Brown represented, even more than Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, and others, the distortion of truth of reality, he said. Mr. Steele added that when it comes to racial controversies, liberals have developed what he calls a poetic truth, which may be at complete odds with an objective truth, but nevertheless helps them advance a desirable narrative. In the case of Michael Brown, reality was turned on its head. It was almost absolute, Mr. Steele says. The language, he was executed, he was assassinated, hands up, don't shoot. It was a stunning example of poetic truth, of the lies that a society can entertain in pursuit of power. Despite ample forensic evidence, the grand jury reports, and the multiple Obama Justice Department investigations clearing the police officer of any wrongdoing, quote, there are blacks today right now in Ferguson, as I point out in the film, who still believe that Michael Brown was killed out of racial animus. That is where race relations are today. The truth has no chance. It's smothered by the politics of victimization.
Yeah. fact check, true.
And the documentary obviously gets into what happened, what people claimed happened, what actually happened. But it has an optimistic undercurrent to it in that in the documentary, Steele points out all the people, particularly in the neighborhoods, who understand what the real problem is and how they're trying to work to fix it. Away from what it says here in this article, the super rich liberals and raising money and the ads and this sort of stuff, in a lot of the communities, and they quote a whole bunch of people who say, we've got a problem with violence in our community and kids who aren't being raised right and don't have any respect for the law.
Sure.
That's what our problem is.
Right.
And the people in that community understand what's going on, and that's the optimistic part of the movie.
Yeah.
So it sounds really, really good.
What frustrated me about the whole thing, well, several things did. The rampant dishonesty, obviously, but as a lover of liberty and small government, I'm about the situation in Ferguson where it became clear that the PD and the city were one of those towns that financed themselves to a large extent on fines, on rolling a stop sign fines, your lawn isn't right fines, ticky-tack BS fines of the citizens, which is just terrible governance. And there's a lot of it. Your civil confiscations and civil forfeitures and all that. It's all the cop shops now have to do a certain amount of confiscating money and property to finance themselves because the city fathers have put them in that position, or so the cops might tell you. And so Ferguson had that rampant, which built resentment among the people there, which to a large extent then culminated in the killing of Michael Brown. So the well was already poisoned by that other stuff, which I find a really interesting issue, and it's in every town across America to a small or great extent. That uneasy, wait a minute, you guys collect on average $1 million in fines every year, and if you don't collect those, your budget is cut, so you have an incentive to find more. Wait a minute. I'm not sure that's what we want out of our policing. That's a really interesting issue. And that just got swept completely aside in the yelling fake narratives at each other that evolved from it.
Well, I think we've struck upon another really interesting issue based on the text line. People who are outraged over the idea of a county health person saying no Christmas lights. We got people from all over the country who say they're not only willing to donate money to a legal defense fund for the people who put up the Christmas lights, they're willing to drive, for instance, in this case, all the way from Texas to drive through that neighborhood and look at the Christmas lights.
You do, I'll buy you dinner.
This is a very well-known neighborhood in the area, too. Mariah Carey, several years back, famously gave this her blessing. Oh, this is a beautiful display, blah, blah. Like, this is a well-known neighborhood that it's
well,
it's
if Mariah Carey has blessed it.
The county has said not this year because of COVID, and people are outraged and should be, and we're going to stay on this story, I guarantee, for the next couple of days. I think whatever the name is of that county health person, I think you stepped in it. I think you might want to rethink this one because it's about to blow up. This will become a national story. Tucker Carlson will be talking about this. This is going to go huge.
Yeah, yeah. And it is such an incredible – I mean, it's not like he stepped over the line. He vaulted over it like Bob Beeman in 1968. Yeah. He set world records.
Yeah, you might want
to. How far over the line this
is. You might want to pull this one back like in the next hour, or it's just going to explode as a story.
Sir, you are a numbskull. I hate to be hurtful, but you have really done something stupid. And here it comes to get you.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to help it get you.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to Monica Starks, who needed to hire for her company, GS Group.
As the owner of a construction company, finding the right people is a very difficult task. So I use ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter finds the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
With ZipRecruiter, we've hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists.
And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums, and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere, even from your favorite hiking trail. With Capital One's app, you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from wherever you are anytime you want, even when you're cooking dinner. Open a fee-free checking or savings account online in about 5 minutes. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Why is the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed your answer to better health and wellness? It's proven quality sleep. Any more questions?
Yes, I'm always freezing and he overheats.
It's temperature balancing so you can sleep better together.
But can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable.
So I'll have more energy for yoga.
Yes, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep.
Namaste.
Namaste to you, too. And now save up to $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed and adjustable base, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
I am Steve Morgan, and I'm running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridges, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric McGreeny, former Sheriff Tom Basinko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 2020.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR 96.5 FM and AM 1460 are honoring our veterans this holiday season with Operation Holiday Salute 2020. If you wish to thank our veterans for their service, you can join forces with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. The holidays can be particularly difficult times for veterans, and this is your opportunity to lend a helping hand. A portion of the proceeds go to support homeless veterans. Call KCNR at 530-605-4565 and become part of Operation Holiday Salute.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke contacts, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Brown, then Tim the lawyer, Tim Sandifer. I've been looking forward to this all week long.
Tim Sandifer is the vice president for litigation for the Goldwater Institute. He is the author of several excellent books, including more recently The Ascent of Jacob Bronowski, Frederick Douglass, Self-Made Man, and one of my all-time favorites, The Right to Earn a Living. Oh, plus The Permission Society, which was inspired, he says, by conversations on this very program. He is our smart friend. He condescends to speak to us. It's Tim Sandifer. Hello, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
According to your avatar, you're still bearded?
Yes, that okay. is right. Nicely trimmed this morning.
Fantastic. Good lead question, Jack. Would you like to follow that up?
Yeah, actually, this is a pretty good lead question. So I'm looking at this poll that was taken right before Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, asking the public, how do you feel about the makeup of the court? Because that's what all this fight is about. This is why people get so worked up about it. They're worried about, you know, it's going to move too far this way or that way. So they polled people, and the plurality of Americans felt that the court was just about right politically. 42% said it's about right. A third said too conservative. 23% said too liberal. How would you describe where the court was politically, is politically, and where it will be if Amy Coney Barrett gets on it?
The court was moderately conservative, and it will become a little bit more conservative. But the problem is that that kind of question is basically meaningless unless you're talking about what issue, what legal subject you're talking about. Because, you know, these justices have views about criminal law that differ from their views about civil law or contract law or property rights and things. And those just do not break down into any sensible conservative versus liberal axis. So the court in general will be more conservative than it was before, but really what you need to talk about is what specific issues will the court change on.
Right. It was interesting how you phrased the question, Jack, too, that how will it be now politically as opposed to judicially? And that is a thing that is smeared, whether intentionally or unintentionally, in the media that a liberal court could conceivably come up with. I mean, an activist court could conceivably come up with outcomes that conservatives like politically, and a very conservative judge that thinks, you know, all in all, we ought to stay out of most things, might yield an outcome that that liberal voters like.
Especially because a lot of conservative judges kind of pride themselves on not using their political views in their judicial decisions. Justice Scalia, very famously so, was of the view that, you know, when I take my position as a judge, it's my role to enforce the law as written, even if I disagree with that law. And they kind of take it as a badge of pride. So it really isn't fair to characterize the court in broad political terms for that reason.
So it's come up a bunch of times over the last couple of days that she is an originalist. What is an originalist?
An originalist is a person who believes that the Constitution should be interpreted in terms of how it was meant or understood in the 1780s when it was written, or in the 1860s when the amendments were passed, or what have you, as opposed to the idea that the meaning of the Constitution's text changes somehow over time, or that it is an abstraction, like a philosophical abstraction that a judge interprets in philosophical terms. So there are different kinds of originalists. And so there are some who think that what's important is what the people individually thought when they sat down to write the Constitution in Philadelphia in 1787. And then there are others who say, no, what matters is what the average person would have believed. the Constitution meant in the 1780s and so forth. So there are differences even within these groups of scholars. But in broad terms, an originalist is a person who thinks the Constitution means today what it meant when it was written.
Is a textualist an originalist, or is there a difference?
There are differences. Okay, I mean, it depends on who you ask. For example, I do not consider myself an originalist, but I do consider myself a textualist. What I mean by that is that I do think that the text obviously is what matters. When you're reading the Constitution, you have to understand what those words mean, not what you would like them to mean.
What they mean now or what they meant at the time, because that can be different, can it?
That's exactly the problem, exactly the problem. So an originalist says, well, it means what they meant at the time. And a textualist does not necessarily think that. So, for instance, Justice Gorsuch, in the recent case about discrimination against people who are married to members of the same sex, in the Bostock case, Justice Gorsuch is basically a libertarian. He ruled that the law does prohibit that kind of discrimination, even though nobody believed that at the time that law was written. So that is a textualist argument as opposed to an originalist argument. He's not just making it up as he goes along, so he's not like a living Constitution guy, but he doesn't think that the meaning of the law is created by the historical fact of how it was written.
Would the not to get too far off on the Second Amendment, but would the founders who liked the Second Amendment, would they believe that a person could own their own cannon? Because that would have been the most powerful weapon you could own in the world at the time, I think, is a cannon.
You know, I'm reminded of I had a professor who from Russia when I was in college, and he used to speak about this. He said, you know, yeah, I have friends in Switzerland who really do have tanks in their garages because they're all members that are all, you know, required to serve in the military. It's not a big deal there. I think that the Founding Fathers would have thought that you have a right to possess firearms for self-defense, and then when it comes to something like a cannon, they would have said no.
Okay.
Interesting. Tim Sandifer's on the line from the Goldwater Institute talking about the Supreme Court in general and the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. Positive, Sean, is now an appropriate time for your question?
Yeah, sure. Just a point that I saw made on Twitter that I thought was interesting, and I would love to hear your pushback against it. Does an originalist, since the Constitution and maybe this premise is wrong, only mentions an army and a navy, does that mean that the Air Force doesn't exist to a constitution or an originalist? And if any rulings came about that, they would have to say, well, it doesn't exist in the Constitution, therefore no funding for the Air Force or something like that.
Yeah, this is not at all a stupid question. So congratulations.
Well, yes. I respectfully disagree. No. But go on, Tim.
In the case of squirrel versus acorn.
So the answer to that is if you ask the best originalist thinkers out there, and that's people like Randy Barnett, his professor at Georgetown, his answer would be, we're not looking at the specifics of what was written in the Constitution, but at the principles that they wrote into the Constitution. So the fact that they said the armed forces in the Constitution means that whatever is designed as an armed force falls within what the Constitution was originally meant at the time. And maybe that's a persuasive argument. I actually don't think it's a persuasive argument for very sophisticated reasons we probably don't have to get into. I think the Constitution clearly gives Congress the authority to create an Air Force, but not because that was in the minds of anybody in the 1780s.
Okay. Does the Constitution, and this is more about Twitter than you, Sean, does the Constitution actually specifically mention the Army and Navy at all, or just armed forces?
Yes,
it does.
No, it says Army and Navy in one place, and it says armed forces in another.
Okay, excellent.
The unconstitutional Air Force. I'll
does
be darned.
It mention Elvis Costello's fabulous album Armed Forces at all?
That's in the Article 12.
So that's what I thought.
Let's get to where the rubber meets the road, or the sensible flats meet the black robe in this case. Mm-hmm. Why has the Supreme Court become such a major part of American life in a way that it wasn't as much in the past?
Why is everybody so fevered about it?
The short answer is abortion. The long answer is the New Deal from the 1930s. So all of this is about the politics of abortion because of the Supreme Court's decision in Roe versus Wade in the 1970s. And since that decision, there's been a concentrated effort to get that decision overturned. And part of that has been to elect presidents who are going to nominate Supreme Court justices who believe that the Roe decision was wrongly decided. Now, of course, if Roe were overruled today, it would not ban abortion in the United States. it would mean that it was up to state Supreme Courts to decide whether their state constitutions protect abortion rights. And several states already have done so. California, Kansas, all sorts of states have issued decisions saying it doesn't matter what happens at the U.S. Supreme Court. Abortion is a protected right at the state level. So that's the easy answer. But the long-term answer is that ever since the 1930s, Congress has been given such expansive powers, powers that the Constitution does not contemplate, that it's become a really important priority to make sure that nobody gets on the Supreme Court who starts to say, wait a minute, all this stuff that the federal government has gotten itself into and state governments also in the past 80 years or so, there's no constitutional foundation for that. And it really conflicts with a lot of what's in the Constitution. So maybe we should rethink that. That would be very dangerous to lots and lots of bureaucrats and to lots and lots of people who get paid for not working from the federal government and state government. So it's very important that they prevent that from ever happening. So that's the you know, what has happened then is Congress passes these incredibly broad, incredibly vague laws, which then courts have to go in and figure out what they mean. So that means it's very important to control what goes on in the court.
Isn't that a lot of it? I mean, that's what Senator Ben Sasse keeps complaining about, Congress not doing their job. They leave it so open-ended, and they want the court to deal with it so that they don't have to.
That's exactly right, and he's totally right about that. Of course, Congress has huge incentives to do that, right? Pass incredibly vague laws that look like a good thing, and then you can go home to your constituents and say, hey, look, I'm a great guy. I did this. I passed this great law. But it's so vaguely worded that there's no real downside at first. And then gradually, then it's the court's responsibility to figure out what these laws mean. And the court starts saying, well, gosh, this is a very good law. Well, by that time, you've passed the buck. By that time, you've already been reelected to Congress. So you don't have to worry about it. And if anything goes wrong, you can blame the judges.
I have a final question, but first, Tim, a glimpse into our lives. We were talking about Ben Sasse a great deal. We quoted him yesterday. Got this note from Jerry. Ha ha, you said Ben's ass. Thank you, Jerry, for that contribution.
Now, see, that is not a textualist interpretation of the thing.
All right, here is my closing two-headed monster of a question. What is the worst Supreme Court decision that has not been overturned? You can deal with that first if you like.
That would be Jones and Laughlin Steel versus National Labor Relations Board, which is a 1937 case that basically said that every single employment contract in the country can be regulated by the federal government.
Ugh. And secondly, did you watch any of the confirmation hearing stuff yesterday?
Oh, God, no. Actually, I watched about 30 seconds of it, but the problem is it's so horrible to watch when you are a lawyer and you care about these things, because it's like watching a television channel that's devoted to nothing but filming children fighting at a school playground. No, that's not right, because it would be more like children who refuse to go to school fighting on a playground.
Right. It's like watching CSI with an actual cop. They just spend the entire thing saying, oh, God.
Well,
that wouldn't
I
matter.
Love how they made a big deal about the fact that she didn't have any notes on the desk in front of her. Like, what notes do you need to answer questions that stupid or questions that aren't even questions? These 2 or 3 minute long monologues that these senators are giving that aren't even questions that have nothing to do with her.
Well, it's clear you didn't watch yesterday. They got a half hour each, and some of the guys just droned on for an entire half hour and didn't even acknowledge the presence of the young woman there at the table.
Oh, hey, before we run out of time, do I remember correctly that you don't have a problem with just a simple majority for the Senate to put Supreme Court justices on? You said it's not in the Constitution, so you don't have a problem with it. Am I right about that? Do I remember that?
Yes, that's right. And in fact, I'm of the view that Supreme Court nominations ought to be more politicized than they are. I think it's a shame that nominees are coached never to answer substantive questions about their views of the law, and that we then place these people on the court without really a clear idea of what they view the Constitution as meaning. And I think it would be healthier for our society if we had much more lengthy and more political debates over who gets put on the court and who doesn't.
Interesting. So I don't know how that would happen.
Just understand, you're not saying, how would you decide this case? More on what's your view of the Constitution, what's your philosophy, that sort of thing?
I would even ask a justice or a nominee, what do you think that such and such a case ought to be overruled? What do you think about this legal precedent? I absolutely would do that.
Yeah,
and these are people who are going to have life tenure on the Supreme Court of the United States. We should know what their views are of the Constitution.
And expanding the Supreme Court, how do you feel about going from 9 to 11 or 13 or whatever?
Well, I think there's no constitutional reason why you can't do it in terms of like the text, but it's a really bad idea. That really is a road you go down that ultimately destroys the constitutional system and turns everything into politics. And if you think everything ought to be politics, then you have no reason to cherish the Constitution. And the only reason to expand the court and that sort of thing is because your program cannot be justified in constitutional terms. And so you're saying basically, well, I've invented a new place. I'm going to throw out the rule book. And that's a really bad idea.
Tim, the lawyer Sandifer, vice president for litigation, the Goldwater Institute. Tim, always enlightening. Thanks a million for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Armstrong and Getty.
Fall is here, so now's your chance to start up something new and delicious.
A&G here, and you know this about us, we love good food.
Let HelloFresh spice up mealtime at home with fresh ingredients and mouth-watering recipes delivered to your door contact-free.
Choose from more than 22 chef-curated recipes each week, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and family-friendly options.
Say goodbye to never-ending meal planning and prepping. With HelloFresh, you can get meals on the table in as little as 20 minutes.
Wow. And HelloFresh features recyclable packaging and pre-portioned ingredients that cut down on food waste by at least 25%.
And you're not just cutting your carbon footprint, you're saving 40% compared with shopping at your local grocery store.
Plus, more servings mean more savings, so now you can order larger HelloFresh boxes for even better value.
Go to HelloFresh.com and use code Armstrong to get $80 off across 5 boxes, including free shipping on your first box.
Again, I say wow. That's code Armstrong for $80 in savings at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com, code Armstrong. Strong.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you can order absolutely risk-free. So go online or call
800-600-2020. 800-600-2020.
If you call in the next 6 minutes, you can get a free bottle with a Larry King TV special.
800-600-2020.
Pick up the phone right now.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I'm not a fan of court packing, but I don't want to get off on that whole issue.
All right. There ends any discussion of court packing as far as I'm concerned.
You think?
Everybody knows where everybody stands.
Okay.
Even the people who say they're not going to say where they stand.
This is my favorite tweet of the day, and we were watching the TV with a bunch of ancient senators on there, and there's a bunch of them that are a million years old.
There are several that are 80-plus on this committee.
Somebody who calls himself Tiny Baby tweeted, "Each state should have an allocation of 100 years of age for their senators. You can send two 50-year-olds if you want, but if you want to send Dianne Feinstein to the Senate, you got to send a 13-year-old too." That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. She's 87.
I know.
I see nothing wrong with that.
No.
Even if you made it 120 years with DiFi, you'd have to have a 33-year-old.
That's amazing.
Woof.
And now, final thoughts with Armstrong and Spaghetti.
You didn't give us 6 minutes for final thoughts again, did you, today? Because they're going to really stretch if you did.
Milk it.
Here's your host for final thoughts, Joe Getty.
Hey, I say we get a final thought from everybody on the crew to put a nice bow on the show. First of all, filling in for Michelangelo ably behind the board, it's executive producer Mike Hansen. Mike?
Hey, sold a car this summer. Made a couple bucks, and I got a letter 2 days ago that said I owed $16,000 for some sort of accident that occurred.
What?
Not happy with the collection agency, but very happy with the insurance company that took care of this catastrophe.
Excellent.
Wow, I need to hear more about that. How does that happen?
Yeah, well, his name must still be somewhere. Positive Sean, our producer, has a final thought for us. Sean?
Yeah, I had an experience that will probably be the closest I ever get to actually experiencing time travel. I swore it was Tuesday until like 2 hours ago. And I realized it was Wednesday. Hey, I'm 1 day closer to Friday, everybody.
No, that's so much better than the opposite.
Oh, yeah. You want to time travel in the right direction.
Exactly. Jack, a final thought to share?
So the story with Hunter Biden's emails. So when you drop off your laptop to get work done or your computer, do they just go through everything on everybody's computer to see what's there for fun? How else would they figure it out?
Yeah, what did go on there?
Anyway, they came across a bunch of emails that might have some political implications and a 12-minute sex video of Hunter Biden smoking crack with some rando woman.
Hooker, stripper, or something.
That's wild.
Yeah, my final thought is I'd like to retract several things I said on the show today. I said, for instance, that I thought it was great and really encouraging that a bunch of lefty journalists were asking difficult probing questions of lefty politicians. And the idea of being intellectually independent and calling your side for its own fouls and the rest of it, that's kind of our thing. And it wouldn't help our brand if Wolf Blitzer is doing the same thing. So please, go back to partisan nonsense.
Hey, we're going to stay on this story about them canceling Christmas lights in one county in California. Because we have to raise money for lawyers, we will. Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
This will not stand. So many people have thanked so little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com. If you are a corrupt California voter, we'll have around noon Pacific today our podcast on the idiotic propositions. Everybody else, we have all sorts of great links for you, the articles we talked about. You can email us, mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com.
See you tomorrow. God bless America.
You having a good time?
Okay, I did not say what that.
I've sat here for over 3 hours and 15 minutes.
That sucks.
If you wish to leave, you may. Let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing.
Not good. And just change the channel from this mesmerizing horror show.
We'll be better tomorrow than we were today.
Then we heard words.
It's over for me.
Adios, mofo.
Okay, so we're dismissed. Is that correct?
Do you want to rephrase what you're doing?
I've been judging one particular curve for the past 8 months.
Is it the gentle curve of my buttocks?
It's on the, phew, jeez. What? Yeah, now, where'd that come from?
The first segment.
Armstrong and Getty. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.